about anything. It's a little different than what you're used to, okay? But I think it's pretty basic. So we're going to start, and let me pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you, and we thank you for your abundant grace, for your incredible mercies in our lives, Lord. I was with somebody who'd been in and out of jail the other day and had just seen incredible grace of God and been delivered from drugs and alcohol. Amazing deliverance that you've done in that person's life. And I just marveled at your grace in our lives, Lord. I marvel at how how wonderful you are to us, Lord. How you care for your people, for your children. And we thank you for that. And that the miracle of bringing us together as even Jew and non-Jew, Jew and Gentile, in the Messiah. It's almost like we never could happen without that. Without you, we could never come together. We never, Jewish people have been misunderstood in communities all around the world for thousands of years and never assimilated into the community. But only through you could we come together as one people. It's a miracle. So blessed are you, Lord. In Yeshua's name, amen.
The candles to welcome the Shabbat. This is a Sabbath according to the Lord, so we light the candles in the evening. And Diane's going to light the candles for us. I'm sorry, we are empty on the matches. That's okay. So while she's getting matches, if you'll pay, turn to page 29, when she's done with the matches, I've handed out these wonderful High Holiday Siddurs. That's a prayer book, and if you got one when you came in, we're going to go to page 29 as soon as she's finished with the candles. So you can go ahead and go there. And Anthony, if you want to come up and help with leading, if you're here.
Come up and help with reading.
Can we turn this the front fan off for just a second?
We kind of need them on. Why don't you put the candles up on the table there?
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kadoshenu b'mitzvotah v'tzivanu lalikna shel Shabbat, shel Yom Tov. Deserving of praise are you, O Lord our God, ruler of the universe, who has hallowed us by your commandments and has instructed us to kindle the Sabbath lights and the Sabbath, the festival lights.
Amen. Yeshua's name. Amen. 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 And Anthony, if you'd lead us in page 29, on the second paragraph there, it says just deserving of praise, and we'll all say it together. Okay. O Lord our God, Lord of the universe, all peoples, and favored us, sanctifying us with your commandments as a token of your love, and you gave us, O Lord our God, this Sabbath day and this day of remembrance, a day for recalling in love, the sounding of the shofar, a holy assembly, recalling our liberation from Egypt. Your word is truth and endures forever. Deserving of praise are you, O Lord, the earth, who sanctifies the Sabbath and Israel and the day of remembrance.
I believe you have a microphone right to your left.
Hallelujah. And we'll, Wendell, if you would come and let's just start this worship service with the shofar call. Let's all stand together for the blowing of the shofar. And then we're going to go to 67, page 67 after that. Hallelujah. And the Lord is King, Anthony, if you'll lead us in the Lord is King.
The Lord is King, was King, and forever be King. No, Israel's nobles revere the Lord is King. Lightning like angels praise
the Lord was King.
Heaven's mighty proclaim
the Lord shall be King.
The Lord is King, was King, and shall forever be King. The Lord is King. Wise sages confirm
the Lord was King.
All celestial beings say
the Lord shall be King.
The Lord is King, was King, and shall forever be King. Torah heirs together say
the Lord is King.
Mighty forces proclaim
the Lord was King.
Flaming angels declare
the Lord shall be King.
The Lord is King, was King, and shall forever be King. Torah students answer,
The Lord is King.
The wonderstruck bursts forth,
The Lord was King.
The thronging flocks ring out,
The Lord shall be King.
The Lord is King, was King, and shall forever be King. Holy gatherings praise,
The Lord is King.
Countless thousands sing,
The Lord was King.
Brilliant angels repeat,
The Lord shall be King.
The Lord is King, was King, and shall forever be King. Worshippers say,
The Lord is King.
Those who adore you call,
The Lord was King.
The faithful acclaim,
The Lord shall be King. The Lord is King, was King, and shall forever be King.
All the faultless fervently tell,
The Lord is King.
All Torah lovers affirm,
The Lord was King.
All alike repeat, The Lord shall be king. The Lord is king, was king, and shall forever be king.
Hallelujah. And that's one of the one things that we're going to rejoice today about, that he is king. Amen. Hallelujah. So put your hands together. Let's rejoice. As he commands us to do in the scriptures in Leviticus, and Rabbi's going to teach us about that. And this is something that we know from the scriptures. Many things are being said through the shofar today. So today, if you hear the shofar, hear it. Okay, if you listen, you will hear it, and you'll hear the voice of the Lord today. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hallelujah. Jeremiah 31 says, he who scattered Israel will bring him back again.
New wine and oil, young folks in words.
Rosh Hashanah is one of those times of gathering. We know because of the shofar calling, and his people gathering is the physical, the first fruits of us all being gathered to him. So he's gathering his Jewish people, and as many who want to come to Israel, they will come. I'm going to teach you another little Hebrew thing here. It's called Hine Go Aleinu Chai. So if you can say that with me, you'll be on your way. Here we go. Hine.
Hine.
Go.
Go.
Aleinu.
Aleinu.
Chai.
Chai.
Well, it's not too bad. You know what that means? It means, behold, our Redeemer lives. All right? And every tongue and tribe is going to come and worship him. And we're all going to learn his ways. We are learning his ways, but we're going to learn more of his ways tonight. Amen? All right, so when I say, Hine go aleinu chai, then you answer me, Hine go aleinu chai. And Rabbi Joe's going to help us. He's good on the guitar, and we're a great team. We're a dynamic duo, right, Rabbi? All right, here we go.
Lives.
Let every tribe and tongue come worship him.
Let
shall the Lord reign. He is King, was King. We know my
righteousness, and have mercy and save us. Only at this time we are going to blow the shofar. I'd like for you to remain standing, and if you'll bring your siddurs back up, we're going to page 37. And I had a big shofar up here. Do you have the calls, Joe? Or do you need them? Huh? Do you need the calls? Do you need the calls?
Yeah.
Here. Or do you just do the blessings and then I'll...
61 63. Okay. All right, it's customary to blow the shofar 100 times on the day of, this is the in the Bible, this is called the Feast of Trumpets in Leviticus 23, and it's customary in the synagogues to sound the shofar 100 times. I believe it's Psalm either 84 or 89, it says, "Blessed are you who hear the sound of this instrument." And I believe the reason is because this is the sound, it says in Thessalonians, "For the Lord himself will descend with the voice of the archangel, with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God." And the trump is really the shofar of God. The shofar is the ram's horn. And that's what was blown when Joshua went around Jericho 7 times. They blew a ram's horn. And the walls came down. When Gideon's trumpet wasn't the same as Louis Armstrong's, and it was a ram's horn. And so there were silver trumpets used at the temple as well, but the one that for this holiday is primarily used and always has been is the ram's horn. Its sound is haunting, and so I'm going to say the blessing on page 61, starting in the middle, sounding of the shofar. I'll read that. "May it be your gracious will, O Lord our God, and the God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, that this hour may be a time of mercy and favor in your presence. Remember us with favor and compassion, just as your Torah states. They shall be a reminder of you before your God, and also you will be remembered by the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. O Lord, bring to an end every oppressor and enemy. O God of our salvation, enable us to conquer our stubbornness and to direct our will so that it will be obedient to you, that we may with love always do your will. Remember us on this day of remembrance to grant us life of happiness and peace. Strengthen your people Israel and reign over us in mercy. Deserving of praise are you, O God of mercy. Deserving of praise are you, O Lord our God, ruler of the universe, who has set us apart by your commandments and commanded us to hear the sound of the shofar. Deserving of praise are you, O Lord our God, ruler of the universe, who has kept us alive and sustained us and privileged us to reach this season." Amen. Do you feel privileged to reach this season? I do. I tell you, as the older I get, I feel privileged every year. The more gray hair I get. Hallelujah. Okay. You ready, Miss Dawn? Tikiah! Shivarim! Tiruah, Tikiah, Tikiah, Shivarim, Tiruah, Tikiah, Tikiah, Shivarim, Tiruah, Tikiah, Tikiah, Shivarim, Tikiah, Tikiah, Shivarim, Tikiah, Teruah, Tikiah, Teruah. Tikiah Gedolah.
Praise the Lord. With the what? Okay. She's not only a football mom and a jet pilot, but she could blow the doors off that shofar.
Be your will.
The sounding of the shofar, which we have done, will be embroidered in the veil by the appointed angel, as you accepted it by Elijah of blessed memory, and by Yeshua, the Prince of the Face, and the one who sits on God's throne. May you be filled with compassion to us. Deserving of praise are you, Lord of compassion. This is the day we commemorate the birth of the world. It is the day when we as children and servants look to the mercy of God for life and forgiveness in Yeshua our Messiah. We examine ourselves for the next 10 days, and through him we trust God to pronounce us righteous. For the what? Okay. We'll turn back to page 61, please. Deserving, down the bottom. Deserving of praise are you, O Lord our God, ruler of the universe, who has set us apart by your commandments and commanded us to hear the sound of the shofar. Tikiyah! Shivarim! Tirua, Tikiya, Tikiya, Shivarim, Tirua, Tikiya, Tikiya, Shivarim, Tikiya. Tikiya, Shivarim, Tikiya, Tikiya, Teruwa, Tikiya, Tikiya, Teruwa, Tikiya, Tikiya. Teruwa. Take a deep one. Tikiya Gadola. God give you strength. Whew. That's not easy what she just did. Can you want them standing?
We are gonna. We'll just. If you wanna, we can remain standing or let's sit because we're done, and just thank the Lord for hearing the sound of the shofar. And if you wanna take the offering, and then we'll go right into.
Do you have any announcements?
If you want. If you
yeah.
Want. Yeah.
Do some announcements, and I'll take the offering.
Okay.
We're so glad you're here with us tonight. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What a great night to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. And just to hear the solemnness of this. This is his special solemn time. And for the next 10 days, it's not just a day. It's a season that God has set aside for us to hear the sound of the shofar, to hear what he has to say to us for repentance. There's so many things going on right now. So I'm so glad that you've come to be a part of that and to learn more. And we do want to welcome all our visitors. We've got a lot. I think most everyone here, a lot of people are from New Life Baptist, is that right? So raise your hand if you're from New Life. I think you're joining with us as overwhelmed. our congregation, but that's okay. You know, the Gentiles came out with the Israelites in Egypt, right?
That's right.
And they yes. came out together. So there was a mixed multitude mm-hmm. of Gentiles and Jewish people. And we built, you know, Israel together in the beginning. And so it will be in the end. We'll build Israel again. We'll get Israel ready for the Messiah. It's like, you know, sweeping the floor and polishing the windows and the brass and the candlesticks. We're all doing that ready for his return. But we've got to do it together. And that's his plan.
Amen. You know, I want to say one other thing about New Life. What you're doing by coming in mass, by bringing your church, Pastor Bill, and folks who come with him and follow your leader, you're breaking glass. You're breaking a glass ceiling that needs to be broken. What you're doing is breaking a glass ceiling that really needs to be broken. It's happening in other places around the world, but it hasn't happened here. And it's very important that it does, because our Messiah is coming to sit on the throne of David, and that's in Jerusalem. It's not the throne of Prince Charles. It's not the throne of Queen Elizabeth. That's not the throne of Denmark. It's not the throne of Spain of Juan Carlos or whatever his son's name is, who's king now. It's the throne of King David. It's a Jewish throne. And our Lord is coming, and it's not about me, it's about him. I'm just a Jewish guy. I'm the guy he sent to this area, amen, to do this. I'm the guy he sent here, and most other groups that have started who do this kind of stuff started here. They all kind of learned from me and then went off and did it, you know, themselves. But this is, we're the original ones. There was nobody doing it 20 years ago. There was nobody doing any of this. And God sent us here to break that glass ceiling. And you, by coming and participating with us, are paving the way for other churches to do the same. And I believe one day we're going to be doing this these holidays, even Sukkot, at the Speedway, and your campground's going to be filled up with RVs and packed out with people camping, and we'll be, you know, having church multitudes of churches coming to celebrate Sukkot, because so amen. I believe that what you're doing is very important, and so Miss Dawn, I'm gonna turn it back to you.
Hallelujah. And how many of you are not from New Life Baptist? If you'll raise your hand if you're not, we have a few here. Amen. And the Fred and Martha. And yes, what's your name? Nice to meet you. Have you been before? You've been before. Yeah, you've been many times. It's great to have you again. Hey, my goodness, look at you. You've grown up. Where's Joshua? Joshua? He's back there. He's a friend over here from Tennessee Avenue. It's great to see you guys. And
sir, is it Greg?
Greg,
good to see you. Welcome.
Yes. And we also want to welcome everyone online who's watching tonight. And, if you're not signed up and you'd like to stay tuned in to everything that's going on, all the events, please sign our visitors' clipboard back there and let us know what your email and address is so we can keep you updated. And speaking of all the events, we've got a lot going on. Next week, to continue our Fall Feast series, is Yom Kippur right here. Right on cue. Tuesday, September 18th, right here, Yom Kippur, the holiest day on the biblical calendar. And we will continue to learn more. Between now, today, and Yom Kippur is what's called the Days of Awe, the 10 Days of Awe. Because they are awesome and terrible days of the Lord. They are days of judgment. They are days of seeking him and repentance and prophetic days, speaking of the end of the world and the coming of the Messiah and putting our Yeshua back on the throne. So these are very, very important days. After Yom Kippur, guess what? God has an appointed time to party. And that's what God has done with us this week, this last couple months, as we put together, we were planning for a big party here in the mountains, as Rabbi said, and your Pastor Bill has been talking about. We've got Sukkot in the mountains. And so that's September 28th, the 30th, and I put flyers in your bulletins. So, and there's plenty of flyers back there on the table in the foyer. If you want to take more and just put them around, invite people, please do so. We also have it up on our website, and we've sent it out on Constant Contact. If you, when you go to the website, you can just click there and register. The prices are very reasonable. And if you want to come and camp and do your tents, you all know. But here is the flyer, and please take some and tell everybody about it. We're going to have a great time together. We're going to worship God. We're going to seek Him for all the way through Yom Kippur. And then we're going to have a party, and we're going to rejoice and continue to learn about His goodness. Amen? Hallelujah. That's all I have. Anything else, Rabbi?
I see. Yeah. Well, praise God. Do we have any other visitors with us tonight? Would you raise your hands if we have any other folks? Tell me your name again, sir. Well, John and Linda. And where are you guys from? Burke's Garden. Welcome. In the Tazewell area. Good to have you with us again. And anybody else? We have, there's lightning out there.
Chan.
We've got Chan with us.
Chan's visiting.
Okay. She's visiting since yesterday. All right. Are we online tonight? Are we live streaming? All right. Well, if we want to welcome the folks on live stream, everybody turn around and wave at the folks on live stream. Hello, everybody. Shalom. We're glad you're with us. God's pouring out His blessing. His rain is coming down on us tonight. So outside, thank God. But anyway, well, we're going to take up our offering. We're going to take up our offering for tonight. For those who if this is your home congregation, if you have a tithe and you wish to bring it, if it's not your home congregation and you wish to bring a love offering, you're welcome to do so. If you need a pen or an envelope or something, if there isn't one in front of you, if you just want to raise your hand, we can bring you one. If anybody needs one.
Everyone should have an envelope.
Don says everybody should have an envelope. Okay, it's our custom here. I'm going to pray, but before we bring our offering is to bring it. And there's the big box there. And then what we also do is we have a spare change offering as our alms. If you have spare change, there's a basket on the side that you'd like to give for the poor in Israel. We always take a spare change offering for the needy people in Israel. And, you know, a lot of people say to me, well, Rabbi Joe, they say, what do you do for the people around here? I've fed the people of Bristol for 14 years. I fed them bagels. One for every person or two for every person in Bristol a year. Do you believe that? That's, let's see, there's about 17,000 people on the Virginia side and 25,000 on the Tennessee side. That's how many bagels we gave a year at the Manna Bagel Company. We gave to Second Harvest. So that's how we did our part for 14 years there. Now we're helping the poor people in Israel because they need it too. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Bill, would you come up and bless the offering for us? Would you do that? Thank you.
Let's pray, shall we? Good evening, Father. Thank you for this wonderful time, this joyful time to come together. One new man, Father, coming together to worship one great God. Thank you for all that you're doing here tonight. Thank you for the celebration of praise and worship and adoration. You and you alone are worthy of all of our praise. Father, now we would ask that you would especially bless the tithes and the offerings. I pray, Heavenly Father, as we bring what we have to offer tonight, that God, you will bless it, and you will divide it, and you will increase it. And God, you will help to feed the hungry, that you'll help to clothe, Heavenly Father, those that do not have clothes, that God, you'll help us to reach the world for Christ, Messiah, Yeshua. God, I pray you'll help us to get the message out. Bless this congregation. What a wonderful group, Lord, they are. and our covenant relationship with them. We're so honored and so humbled just to be a part of what they're doing. And just as with Moses, with Aaron and Hur, when they lifted up the arms of Moses, Lord, we feel like that's a part of what we do. We lift up this congregation to you in prayer, weekly prayer, daily prayer, lifting up, dear Lord, this congregation, this rabbi, his wife, all of these wonderful people, and just ask God that you would do a mighty work right here in this area. God bless them, increase them, increase their outreach. Bless all those that are listening through the internet, and I pray, God, that you will draw them here. Dear Lord, in our soon coming feast celebration, I pray, Lord, that you'll just draw people from around this area. Come and listen to the great speaking, the great teaching, the dancing, and Lord, the joyful music. Now bless this offering, Lord, we pray. We give you all the praise and honor and glory. May we say one more time this side of glory that we love you. We're just so thrilled that, God, you live and you dwell within us. There is a temple now that we carry with us everywhere we go. And Lord, we have a throne that we can go and hide into when we need to go before you. We can enter into that throne room boldly. And Lord, thank you for the graces and mercies that have allowed us to do such. Bless now the remainder of this service. Bless this offering, for it's in the wonderful name of Yeshua we ask these things. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Bill. And folks at home watching online, if you'd like to contribute, you can do so on the website. There's a donate button. God bless you as you give. Thank you all. Since we have so many people, why don't we start with this side of the room, and then let you guys go, and then we'll let you all go, and that way people won't be bumping into each other and tripping over each other. How's that sound? So we'll start with this side, and the boxes are right up here.
Yeshua, Mashiach Adonai. Yeshua, Mashiach Adonai. My heart has turned toward you. My path leads me to your land.
suggest test 1 2 okay. I suggest, well, this is a cordless mic, so it can't get can't have a problem, but that one you're there is electric, and so you want to, yeah, it's good, yeah, and the cordless mics are okay, and my headset's okay. My head, I don't know about, but my headset is okay. So, anyway, if anybody's parked across the street, they have gotten uppity over there sometimes, and you know, what? You want me to say anything? Oh, did anybody park across the street? Good. Because it's raining out, and I wouldn't want you to have to go out there.
I was going to just mention that we do have some snacks afterwards downstairs. So if I didn't say it before, you're welcome to stay afterwards, and we'll have coffee and such.
Hallelujah. Ooh, it's really coming down. You know, rain's a blessing. And I was talking to the folks at New Life this morning about the holiday. Remember I said this morning that all the nations, all the Gentiles will come up to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast in Zechariah 14:16. And it says the nation that doesn't come up to Jerusalem won't have any rain. Isn't that interesting? So look at the rain, or listen to the rain we're having now. I really believe it's coming over us right now because you came to celebrate the feast. Now, let me explain something to you about Israel. Israel's a desert, and they get rain from November to about maybe the end of February, early March, and that's it. They get rain from November to February or March, and then they don't see rain again until November. And it is a desert, and it's dry, and it's barren. And we were there in the winter, and remember how brown it was, Coy, when we were there? And, you know, if you go this time of year, it's pretty brown right now. And about a month from now, a month and a half, 2 months, maybe the sometime in November, the rains will start. But Sukkot, the feast that we're going to celebrate with you all in a couple weeks, is the feast where, that's the one where Jesus said in John 7, he said, "If any man thirsts, let him come to me, and out of his belly will flow rivers of living water." I didn't tell you that this morning, that's the same holiday we're going to be celebrating in 2 weeks. That's the same where Yeshua, where Jesus went to the temple, and he said, "If any man thirsts, let him come to me, and out of his belly will flow rivers of living water." And the reason he was talking about water is because Sukkot, the third holiday of the three feasts, is the one where they pray for rain, because if they don't get rain, it's an agricultural country, right? Just like when this land is and was and used to be an agricultural land. If without rain, you don't get much crops, do you? The cucumbers and the lettuce don't look too good, do they? The tomatoes and the corn looks terrible without rain, doesn't it? My goodness. Okay, so are we on there, Mr. Isaac? Okay, well, shalom, folks on Facebook. We want to welcome you, and we're glad you're here with us. We're going to talk about Rosh Hashanah, but let's pray, and let's pray for the word of the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now, and we thank you for your feast tonight. We thank you for the opportunity to come into this ark of protection, Lord, divine protection, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your protection, your safety from the storm, shelter from the storm here tonight, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you watch over us and guard us. And we bless you and we praise you in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, our Messiah. Lord, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise. Thank you, God. And I pray you protect our fellowship hall from any flooding tonight, Lord, because we haven't been able to get a drain put in
So I pray that you would protect our fellowship hall from any flooding. And although it has no carpet, so it will dry out quicker. We just pray, Lord, that you just keep it from the rain, Lord, in Yeshua's name. And bless this message now. Bring forth your word and bind the enemy. Amen. Okay. Well, let's begin with Leviticus 23. And if you have a Bible, I can't hear you, Dawn. Can I see it? Thank you. There's one on my, if you want to take mine. Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. So let's read in let's read in verse 1. How many of you have never celebrated this feast before? Raise your hand. This is the first time. Okay. All right. Great. All right. Leviticus 23:1. The Lord spoke again to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, the Lord's appointed times, which you shall proclaim as holy convocations. My appointed times are these. For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of convocation. You shall not do any work. It is a Sabbath of rest." Lord, keep the lights on, please, we ask. Thank you. So the Lord spoke in verse 1 and 2. He says, "These are the Lord's appointed times, which you shall proclaim as holy convocations. My appointed times are these." My appointed times are these. Okay? Well, let me explain something to you in Hebrew. The word for appointed time is moed. Well, can you all say that? Moed. And that means appointment or set time. Appointment or set time. It also means feast. So Hebrew words always have more than one meaning. Shalom means hello. It also means goodbye. It means the wholeness of the Messiah. You know, when you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the shalom, you're praying for the messianic peace, the kingdom of the Messiah. When you're praying for the shalom, the peace of Jerusalem, you're asking God to bring the messianic age into Israel. That's what shalom is, that deep. It also, it's a greeting in Hebrew. It also means goodbye. We say hello and goodbye. So almost every Hebrew word I can think of has more than one meaning. And so the word moed means appointed time. It means feast. And it means another word for appointed time is appointment. So this is one of God's, in this chapter, there's 8 appointments laid out. If you read it, we're not going to read the whole chapter, but that there's 8 appointments laid out. Try to ignore the thunder. and we'll talk about that too. But there's 8 appointments laid out these are God's holidays. These are the ones that he selected for his people. You won't find, you won't find Hanukkah in the Old Testament. You won't find Christmas in the Old Testament. You won't find Easter in the Old Testament. You won't find, you'll find Hanukkah in the New Testament, John 10:22. John 10:22 is the Feast of Dedication. And the only reason that I celebrate Hanukkah, because it's not a biblical holiday, is because Jesus celebrated it in John 10:22. And it says he was in the temple and he was in Solomon's colonnade and it was wintertime. And he was there and it was the Feast of Dedication. Would you all say that, Feast of Dedication? That's English for Hanukkah. So when Jesus was in the temple in John 10:22 for the Feast of Dedication, it might say that in your Bibles, it down at the bottom, it might say Hanukkah. He was there to celebrate Hanukkah. And that to me is like taking your signet ring and putting it in hot wax and having the king stamp it. Amen? That's like taking your ring. That's when Jesus celebrated Hanukkah, that made it good kosher for me. Okay? Folks, that made it kosher for me. And Purim is another feast that was started later in the book of Esther. And that's another feast of the Bible. So, but anyway, we're here to talk about Rosh Hashanah. So let's look in verse 23. Now, it says two things before we go there. It says, so tonight is one of God's appointments to show up. So does that mean that God doesn't show up in church on Sunday? No. I was in church with you all today. God was there. I had a great time. I enjoyed the presence of the Lord this morning. Amen. It's just not, you know, God shows up. I've been to churches where I didn't sense God there. I'm sure he was, but he didn't make himself as known as he did this morning. Amen. Have you all been to churches like that where, you know, where you're wondering where God is? Well, you know, but on these holidays, God promises he's going to show up. He says, these are my appointed times. These are my appointments. I'm going to show up. And, you know, he's an on-time God. Amen, Pastor Bill? Amen. He's an on-time God. All right, let's move on to verse 23 of the same chapter. Again, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first of the month, you shall have a rest, a reminder of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. That word, holy convocation, is mikre kodesh in Hebrew. Would y'all say that, mikre kodesh? And that means holy convocation or solemn assembly. So every time you go to the house of the Lord, okay, to worship God, whether it's for just Sunday church or whether it's Shabbat, Saturday, or whether you go for a feast like tonight or a wedding or for a funeral, whatever reason you're going, dedicating a baby, baptismal service, when you go to worship God, that's a holy convocation. That's a mikre kodesh, okay? So a lot of people tell me, they say, well, Rabbi Joe, they say, well, I keep Sabbath. I have Sabbath in my house. I have Sabbath in my house. That's what they tell me. But God's word says have a solemn assembly. He says gather, get together with God's people. The New Testament says do not forsake the gathering together, doesn't it? Doesn't it say that? Do not forsake the assembling together. And so God wants us to come together. Wow. God wants us to come together on his feasts. And so, you know, there's a way that's right, that seems right to a man, that's way is the way of death. I believe that. Is that the Proverbs that say that? There's a way that seems right to a man whose end is the way of death. Amen? Now, a lot of men, not preaching anybody in particular here, I'm just saying in general, a lot of people in the world, a lot of believers do things. They proclaim fasts. They do this. They proclaim different things. God prescribes how we should worship him. Amen? So, for example, when King David went to get the Ark of the Covenant and bring it up to Jerusalem, he made a mistake. And he brought some men with him, some strong men, and he brought them with him, and he brought some worshipers, and they went and they got the ark and they were bringing it back to Jerusalem, and what happened was the ox cart tilted, and a guy named Uzzah, everybody say Uzzah, he was a strong guy, and he went to reach for the cart to stop it, and he took hold of the Ark of the Covenant, and lightning came and struck him dead right there on the spot, struck him down, terrified King David, terrified the people that were with him. And King David went and waited a couple of months before he went back. And you know what David figured out? He read the Word of God and found out in God's Word that it says, only the Levites. Everybody say, only the Levites. Only the Levites could carry the Ark of the Covenant without being struck down. And this guy Uzzah was no Levite. He wasn't a Levite. Amen? You can look up that story on your own. We're not going to go there tonight. but it's a good story, and there's a message in that. The message is David had a good intention. He had a good plan. He wanted to do a good thing. Everybody, amen? Would you agree with that? David wanted to do a good thing, and he was upset with God. Why did you strike this guy down, God? Why did you kill this man? I was trying to do a good thing. But God said, you got to do it his way. We can't try to build the house of the Lord. That's what we're doing. We're all bricks. We're all bricks in the house of God. Amen? And we can't build God's house. We can't build God's house if we don't build it properly. Amen? If we don't build it with plans and a heavenly architect. Remember, when Moses built the tabernacle, it says God gave him the plan. He did everything according to the plan that God gave him on the mountain, right? Exactly as God told him to do on the mountain. When Solomon built the temple, it says he did everything according to what God showed his father David. He did it exactly that way. And the glory of God came and filled the house at the temple in Jerusalem. Amen? And so we're going to see the glory of God when we build God's house God's way. And part of it is what we're doing right now in the New Testament is when we come together as Messianic Jew and Christian, we come together as one. Amen? That's how we're going to bring the glory down on the house. That's the key. I taught about it yesterday. Bill, I taught about it in your church months and months ago. And that's the plan. God has given us the pattern. It's Jew and Gentile. It's church and Messianic community. Doesn't matter how big the Messianic community is. We're smaller as long as there is one. As long as there is one. Praise God. Okay. All right. So let's go on here. So Leviticus 23:23. Again, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a rest, a reminder of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall not do any laborious work, but you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord." All right? Well, Yeshua took care of that offering on the cross. He died for our sins. He was buried. He rose from the dead. We no longer need a sacrificial system at this point in time, because Yeshua took care of all of our offerings. Amen. He took care of our grain offerings and our meat off our sin offerings. He took care of our all the different offerings that there were, sacrificial offerings. Amen. Now we still make offerings to God for his kingdom, like you brought an offering tonight. But also, we have other kinds of offerings of praise. We bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Amen? We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of our Lord. How's it go? We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, and we offer up to him sacrifice of thanksgiving, and so on and so forth. It's a great song. Haven't sung that one in 20 years, have you? I bet. Anyway, so we bring a sacrifice of praise. The dancers were praising. God says, offer our bodies as living sacrifices. They were offering their bodies tonight to the Lord. They were dancing before God in a holy dance of worship and unity together. It wasn't some kind of pagan dance. It wasn't some kind of dance in a honky-tonk or a nightclub. Amen? It was a holy dance. Amen? Serious, you know, there's all kinds of ways you can dance, and but there's God likes. Remember, King David danced. Does anybody remember that? Was it pleasing to God? It was pleasing to God. Amen. Did Miriam dance when she crossed the Red Sea? Did she dance with the timbrel? She took up the timbrel, and the women, when they crossed the Red Sea, they danced. Go back and read that in Exodus 12 or 13 there when they crossed the Red Sea. I think it's chapter 13. And they picked up timbrels and tambourines, and they danced before the Lord. It was pleasing to God. God likes that. So let's talk more about this. So let's talk about the calendar a little bit. This is the first day of the seventh month. Well, some of you might be thinking, well, okay, how can this be the first day of the seventh month? We're in September. September is the ninth month. Well, in God's calendar in the Bible, we're in today is the beginning of the month of Tishrei, and we're going to order some more of these calendars. Maybe we'll have them by Sukkot. These are like 16-month calendars. We don't have them yet, but we'll hopefully have them. They go for about $14. They're beautiful. There's the Dead Sea, and there's some trees. There's the Garden of Gethsemane right there. And anyway, so today is the first day of the seventh month, which is the month of Tishrei. And so it says God has a different calendar than the one that you and I use every day, you know, January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September. God's calendar is different. This is the seventh month. And you know, it was during this month that Noah's Ark landed. Did you know that? If you read about Noah's Ark, you'll see that it landed during the seventh month. I'm not sure which day. You'll have to look that up in Genesis on your own. But Noah's Ark landed on Mount Ararat, or at least land. It saw land. I'm not sure if they landed or they saw something rise above the water. In the seventh month, and that was in September, corresponding to September. So God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And as you come here into this house, into this Jewish house, you have to realize, first of all, that I had to leave a Jewish house to come here. I left my home. The Bible says there is no one who has left home, father, mother, brothers and sisters, wives, children, lands, homes, for my sake or the sake of the gospel, who shall not receive 100-fold in this life, brothers and sisters, lands, farms, and eternal life in the age to come. Mark 10:29. That's what it says. There's no one who's left home like the apostles did. And God asked me, I had to leave my home, and I had to leave my family, everything that was dear to me, all my friends, my family. I gave it all up. Gave up my synagogue, gave up everything, my traditions, to come here and start something that I had never started before. And so I based it on what I knew. God said to me, I've given you, I raised you with a rich Jewish education and upbringing, and now I want you to teach it. Like Paul, I want you to teach it to the Gentiles. I want you to teach the things I've given you. He says, I've given you much, and to whom much is given, much is required. That's what he said to me. I've given you much, and to whom much is given, much is required. And he wasn't talking about, we're not, as you can tell, when I say much, we're not on the fancy side of town. He was talking about in here. Amen? Okay. So I had to leave everything behind. And a lot of folks I meet when I teach, and I've taught in hundreds and hundreds of churches in this region, from Morristown, Knoxville, to North Carolina, Kentucky, West Virginia, Virginia, all the way up to Roanoke and Christiansburg, Glade, Abingdon. I've taught all through Morristown and Mountain City and Boone and all over the place. But one thing I notice in the churches is that a lot of people are bound by tradition. They're bound by their I'm going to do what my mom and my dad went to this church. My grandparents went to this church, and I'm going to go to this church. I remember going to a little Methodist church called Pisgah United Methodist Church, way up in where is that? It's in North Carolina, past Newland. I can't remember the little town. Little tiny Methodist church called Pisgah. About 17 years ago, as I was walking into the church, the preacher had they had hired this real wild preacher, and this was a traditional Methodist church. I mean, it's just a little old Methodist church, way up in the mountains of North Carolina. The preacher went and he built an empty tomb in the wall along the driveway, and he built a rolling stone, and he made an empty tomb and a rolling stone, and he didn't ask the people. He just did it. He just constructed this empty tomb in the wall and put the rolling stone there. And then he had me come up. He had this Jewish guy come up to the church. And I arrived as I was walking in the church. This little old lady says to me, "Look what they've done to my poor little church." And then when I gave at the end of the meeting, I preached and I gave the Aaronic benediction in Hebrew. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may the Lord make his face shine upon you. As I gave the blessing, somebody sent a letter to the bishop and they said the preacher had a Jew and he was speaking in tongues. People don't want to change. People don't want to change. They don't want new things. They don't want to break out of their box, to break out of their mold, to break out of the closet, whatever it is. But God, I'm telling you, the way is narrow that leads to eternal life. The gate is wide that leads to damnation. And I'm telling you, very few will find the way that leads to eternal life. Very few. So many people. I've seen one time another, I won't name the church. I was in Destin, Florida as an evangelist. 15 people got saved on a Sunday morning in a mainline church. 15 people that thought they were Christians got up and accepted the Lord. And I gave an invitation on a Sunday morning. 15. Crowd wasn't a whole, it might have been about 80 people more than this, and 15 people got saved. Saw the same thing in South Africa. 15 people got saved in a Dutch Reformed church because they never give invitations. They don't offer people to be born again, to be saved. They read the Gospels, but they don't give an invitation in these churches, and people don't get saved. You know, they go sit in the pew, hear the preacher, and that's it. All right, let's talk about this feast. So this is the Feast of Trumpets, and it's a day of blowing of trumpets. This is a day that the rabbis traditionally have several names for this holiday. They believe that on this day, they call it New Year, even though New Year is actually in April. Passover is the first, remember, this is the first day of the seventh month. Y'all remember that? I said this is the first day of the seventh month on the biblical calendar. Passover is the 14th day of the first month. So the first month on the biblical calendar falls around April or March. Okay? So Passover, which is, so I always say, you know, at Passover time, I often say to people, Happy New Year! Because that's the first month. But, you know, we don't think like that. Our mind isn't trained that way. Mine isn't either. I work in, I'm in two worlds. You know, I'm in the American Western Christian world, and I'm also in the Messianic Jewish world, you know, and I'm kind of a bridge between the two, and I got to be aware of both. Amen? So the rabbis say that, you know, that this was the creation of the world was on Rosh Hashanah, and that's why they call it New Year, because they believe that the creation of the world took place at this time of year. I won't get into why. Another explanation of New Year, why they call this Rosh Hashanah, which means head of the year or new year in Hebrew. Another reason for it is because it's the beginning of the civil year or the agricultural year. It's the beginning of the new agricultural season, the end of the old, the beginning of the new fall, the fall harvest, the first harvest of the year is in the fall, and then it goes on to the spring and the summer, and then goes back to the fall. So that's those are reasons they call it New Year, all right? But the Bible calls it Yom Teruah. Would you all say that? Yom Teruah. Do you remember Miss Dawn when we were she was blowing the shofar? I said Tikiyah, Teruah. Teruah means Yom Teruah is the name of this holiday in Hebrew, the real biblical name, and it means the day of the awakening blast, the day of the awakening blast. And when you heard that shofar the second time she blew it, that little one, that shrill, that kind of, let me see, I have one here. Not as good as she is, but. It's shrill, isn't it? It's piercing. If you had an alarm clock like that, it would make you jump out of bed. It's the day of the, this is the day of the awakening blast. Now, a lot of people equate that with the resurrection, but I don't. And I've celebrated this holiday for 52, this is my 53rd year celebrating this holiday. I don't believe that the rapture takes place on this holiday, and there's a reason for that. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, 50 or 51, it says at the last trump. Everybody say at the last trump. Well, this isn't the last trump. You heard 100 trumps. Amen? You heard a lot of trumps. You didn't hear the last trump, did you? The last trump is on next week, 10 days from now, on Yom Kippur. So there's a lot of teaching out there that this holiday, and I disagree with it, that this holiday, I can't prove it to you, it hasn't happened yet, but these three holidays that we're celebrating are as yet unfulfilled prophetically, and my take on this holiday is more or less, if you turn to Joel chapter 2, Joel chapter 2, blow a trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain, let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, surely it is near, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, as the dawn is spread over the mountains, so there is a great and mighty people, there has never been anything like it, nor will there be again after it to the years of many generations. And he goes on to talk about the horrible time of the day of the Lord, and it starts off with blow a trumpet in Zion, blow a shofar. In Hebrew, the word is shofar. Blow, sound the alarm on my holy mountain. What is this holiday to me? Why do we sound it 100 times? Not because it's a rapture, because this is an alarm clock. This is they've built new sirens around Bristol. Have you noticed the warning sirens? Have you seen those yellow towers? There's one over by Vance, behind Vance. There's a field there off of, is it Weaver? No, that's not Weaver Pike. What's that road back there? Melrose? I think it's Melrose Street. On Melrose, there's one of those towers. There's one right there at the corner of Holston Avenue and Volunteer Parkway. What will you be doing the day when the sirens go off? Because that day is going to come. The day when the sirens, when the alarm, when the horns blow, when the shofars sound, you know, what's going to happen that day? What's that going to be like? Why? What will cause those sirens to go off? You know, in World War II, you often heard it if you listen to footage or movies of World War II. It was the air raids. You'd hear the air raid sirens. you know, and people would know to go into the bunkers and go underground and go to the bomb shelters. We have those sirens here in the city, and so God says, blow a shofar in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy mountain. It's not a good day. And the day of the Lord starts, he's warning of judgment. And it's interesting because the rabbis have a name for this holiday. They also call it, besides Rosh Hashanah, besides New Year's, they would call it Yom Din. Everybody say Yom Din. Din comes from the word Dan. Anybody named Dan out there? You have a Dan in the room? Well, you're Dan. Hi, Dan. Dan means judgment. Dan means judgment, okay? And Din is the day of judgment. Yom Din means the day of judgment. The day of judgment. So the rabbis call this holiday the beginning of judgment. This is God's season of judgment. What day is today? September 9th. What happened 2 days from now, 17 years ago? 9/11. What was 9/11? Was it the worst tragedy, the worst attack on American soil in U.S. history by a foreign entity? Was it on mainland soil, not Pearl Harbor, but it was the worst attack on the mainland that the United States has ever seen, was on 9/11. This is God's season of judgment. I don't care what you want to call 9/11, and I'm not ashamed to say it was an act of judgment. God removed his protective hand. Now, God says, there's a story in the Gospels about towers falling, and the Tower of Siloam fell. Tower of Siloam fell. And you can read the story. I'm not going to go there tonight. I'll tell you about it. The Tower of Siloam fell, and I think 18 men died. 18 people died. You know what the Lord said? Yeshua said. He said, "Don't point the finger at those fellas, because unless you repent, the same thing can happen to you." He said, "Don't look at those people that died. Don't look at the people who died in the World Trade Center and judge them, because." The same thing that happened to them can happen to you. Unless you repent. That's what Yeshua said. And he was talking to his own, he was talking to his disciples. He was talking to believers. Check it out. When the tower fell. The tower, I believe it was the Tower of Siloam. Somebody want to look up that verse and tell me? Not the pool, but the tower. All right. So the rabbis call this Yom Din, and this is Israel's season of judgment. And you notice a lot of things, a lot of judgments happen, and a lot of hurricanes happen around this time of year. Hurricane Katrina happened around this time of year. A lot of horrible storms have happened in Florida and all over the country, in the Gulf Coast, and Hurricane Sandy. A few years back, went up the East Coast and devastated the East Coast of the United States. Hurricane Matthew did a job on South Carolina, on Myrtle Beach and the Carolinas, and amen, and probably on Hilton Head and places like that. Hurricane Matthew a couple years ago, I almost got caught in that one. And interestingly, another thing that happened in 2008 during this time of judgment, the stock market crashed. On September 15th, I think it was, or 16th, 15th or 16th. Please stay put, guys. I don't want you going downstairs. Okay. I think it was September 15th or 16th, 2008. Was it 2008? I think it was 2008, September 15th. The stock market crashed 777 points. 777 points. The stock market dropped on a Monday. On Friday, Hurricane Ike hit Galveston, Texas, destroying Galveston, turning Galveston into what looked like a wasteland. Hurricane Ike just utterly flooded and decimated Galveston, Texas. And on Friday, and on Monday, which I believe was the 15th or 16th of September, the stock market, well, we woke up to the news, I think, that Lehman Brothers went out of business. And the famous, the longtime, I mean, Lehman Brothers was an old banking house, probably dating back to the Revolution. Lehman Brothers stocks, you know, and investment house went out of business, and the stock market tumbled 777 points. Amen. Why do all these things happen at this time of year? You could look back on events, just go back on things that have happened in September, just in September every year, and go back and look at the tragedies and the things, the terrible things that happened. We went into the worst recession that you've had in probably in most of our lifetime, started on that Monday in 2008. Remember? Amen. Were you scared? Raise your hand if you were a little nervous when the stock market went down. I'm going to raise my hand. 777 points. I saw a grown man cry. A lawyer, one of the biggest lawyers in Bristol. He was crying that Monday or Tuesday. I saw him. He was walking out of his office next door to my shop. He was crying. I said, "What's the matter, brother?" He said, "I've lost everything I've worked my whole life for." One of the biggest lawyers in Bristol. He said he lost almost everything, and he was going to have to keep working. He's probably 60 years old, you know, 58, 60 years old. And he said, you know, thought he was going to have to work, praise God it came back. But a lot of people lost their retirement. Amen? Amen. So the rabbis teach that this today begins 10 days of awe, days of repentance, 10 days of repentance. And they teach us that on this day, the book of life is opened in heaven, and the book of our deeds is opened before God, and that we have 10 days. This is what the rabbis teach. This isn't necessarily this isn't necessarily what the Bible teaches. I'm just telling you what the rabbis teach. That on this day, the book of life is open, and the book of the deeds. Can somebody get these kids to sit down, please? It's distracting. Please. Thank you. All right. Excuse me. So the rabbis teach that on this day the book of life is open, and the book of the deeds of your good deeds and your bad deeds, and that God weighs. You have 10 days to make penance, to repent and to make penance for your good deeds and your bad deeds, and that God is kind of weighing you in the balance right now. And it'll be interesting. You watch and see who lives and who dies these next 10 days. Watch and see who lives and who dies these next 10 days. You'll be interested to watch to see that, what happens. I've noticed things every year because I'm watching. But if you don't know, if you're out there, just living football, watching football tonight, you know, not knowing what's going on in God's world. God's not interested in football tonight, okay? I like football, don't get me wrong. My sons play football. I love to watch my sons play football. And I like football, but tonight I'm not watching football. Amen? Amen. And I wouldn't be watching football tonight. And I wouldn't, you know, so does God really weigh our good deeds and our bad deeds? No. Actually, Daniel was the last person. Daniel and John, the Revelator, were the last two people to see the Book of Life and the Book of Deeds opened. Daniel saw it opened in Daniel 7. The judgment was set up in Daniel 7, and the Book of Life and the Book of Deeds was opened. The books were opened in Daniel 7, and God the Father was seated on the throne with white, you know, with white curly hair. He had, you know, woolly hair. He had woolly hair. And he was seated on his throne, and fire went out before him, and the books were opened. And one like a son of man came in the clouds. One like a son of man came in the clouds. And God proceeded to judge the quick and the dead. Amen? In Daniel 7. Now in Daniel 12, the archangel, I believe it was Michael, came to Daniel, it was Michael or Gabriel, in Daniel 12, and he said, Daniel, seal up the book and go your way. Seal up the books till the end of days. Seal up the books till the end of days. Daniel saw your name in the book of life. Amen? If you're in the book of life, Daniel saw your name. He saw your name in the book. He saw your deeds. And then he sealed up the book with his ring as prime minister of Babylon or Persia. Daniel took his ring, the prime minister's ring, hid it in hot wax, and sealed up the books. Amen? Because Daniel was an officer in the kingdom. He was the number two or number three guy in the kingdom of Babylonia, in the kingdom of Persia. And so in Daniel chapter 12, it was probably Persia at that point, Daniel sealed up the book. That's the way they would do it. They with hot wax, they'd seal the book. And it won't be open till the judgment day. Amen? It won't be open till the judgment day. Now John saw it too in Revelation at the white throne judgment. He saw the books opened again. So John and Daniel were the only two people to see the books. But I want you to bow your heads with me for a second here. Let's close our eyes for a minute. I have a question for you. With all heads, eyes closed and all heads bowed, raise your hand if you don't know if your name is in the book of life. Raise your hand if you don't know that your name is in the book of life. If you don't know for sure. You see, growing up, I didn't know if my name was in the book of life. I went to this holiday every year and I didn't know if my name was in the book of life. If you don't know that whether your name is in that book, raise your hand. All right, you can lift your heads. Praise God. Everybody here. And if you're watching tonight and you don't know if your name is in the book of life, all you have to do is just say, Dear God, I've messed up. I've broken your laws. And I want to meet Yeshua. I want to meet Jesus. And please forgive my sins, because I've broken your laws. I've messed up. I've made mistakes in my life, and I haven't kept your commandments. Forgive me, God, and come into my heart, and be my Lord, be my Savior. Write my name in your book of life. In Yeshua's name, in Jesus' name, amen. You just pray a prayer like that and ask God to come in. Some people say they don't believe in a sinner's prayer. I do. The Bible says if we confess with our mouths that Yeshua is Lord, and we believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. Amen? If we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, and we believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, then we'll be saved. So I believe in a sinner's prayer. You know why? Because that's confessing. That's confessing. You know, not if at least to God. Maybe nobody else hears you, but if you're in your car or in your home and you pray out loud and you ask him to come into your life, he hears you. Amen. All right. So we got 10 days of awe that starts tonight, 10 days of repentance. Why do we still do this holiday, Messianic Jews? My sins have been forgiven. I'm washed in the blood, amen, of the Lamb. I don't have to do this, but there's more to this. This is also the season of Israel's national repentance. This is the time of the year, Zechariah 12:10, when Israel's national repentance. Because next week, 10 days from now, is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Day of Atonement. And that's when every year, atonement for the sins of the nation of Israel would be made by the sacrifice of a bull and of a goat and two goats. There was the scapegoat, and one would go off into the wilderness, and then another goat would be a burnt offering. So a bull and a goat would be sacrificed for the sins of the people and the sins of the priests. Amen? And then there was the scapegoat, which I believe represents the Jewish people, that went off into the wilderness. And the Jewish people were, in a sense, we were a type of sacrifice that God offered. You know, sent us off into the wilderness when he scattered us. The holiest day of the year is 10 days from now, is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. It's such a holy day, and you can touch, the holiness is so thick you can cut it with a knife when you celebrate Yom Kippur, and I invite you to come back for it. The holiness, I believe it's really what it is the marriage. It's to me, it's the marriage. It's so holy. The only thing I can compare it to is my wedding. My wedding was the holiest day of my life. When I married Dawn, that was the holiest day of my life. And the only thing I could compare in all these Jewish holidays is Yom Kippur, which is the most sacred day on the Jewish calendar, is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And interestingly, although they don't focus on the wedding theme in the synagogues, the rabbis, what they do say is that Rosh Hashanah Yichatevun of Yom Sum Kippur Yichatemun. On Rosh Hashanah it is written, and on Yom Kippur it is sealed. And what do they mean? They mean that on Rosh Hashanah the book of life is open, and your name is written. Your names are written on Rosh Hashanah during these 10 days of awe, and then on Yom Kippur, the book of life and the book of deeds are sealed. And then that's it. You know, you either made it in, and the rabbinical teaching is for the coming year. We know that once you have the blood of Yeshua, once you have the blood of Yeshua, it's forever. Amen. You don't need to go back to the blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, do you? How many times do you need to be saved? Once, right? One time. Praise God. So, you can't, you know, when God saves you, none of us deserved it, did we? None of us deserved to be saved. How many of you were good enough? You're so good. You're just such a great person that, you know, God needed to save you. Right? Raise your hand if you were just so good that God needed to save you because you were so good. He just had to put your name in the book of life because you were such a good person. Amen? I don't see any hands going up. He saves us in our mess, you know? He saves us in our filth. In our filth, he comes to us and he accepts us in our ugliness, in our mess, almost like a baby, you know, who's, you know, messed its diaper and just sitting there helpless, screaming with a diaper rash and you know what, sitting in that diaper. And God comes and he saves us and he cleans us up and he just picks our legs up and wipes us and he loves us. Amen? And he just adores us and he kisses our feet and he doesn't care. He just wipes up that filth and takes it away. Amen? That's what he does. That's how much he loves us. Like we love a baby. And we, you know, baby can pee and poop all over the place and make a mess. And we're like, isn't that cute? Isn't that sweet? Look at that. He pooped all over the place. Look at that. He just peed in my face. Isn't that funny? He peed in my face. You know, how many of you ever experienced that? Raise your hand, changing a diaper. Okay, we have a lot of, yep. It's happened to me. And not just my kids. I've changed other people's diapers. I have a cousin. When he was a little baby, and I was curious, so I was standing right in front of him, and they're changing his diaper, and I'm standing right there in front of his feet. And all of a sudden, I'm like about 10, 11 years old. I'm watching to see what's going on as they change his diaper. And I got a face full of... I'll never forget that. I learned not to stand in front of them when you do that. but can't always escape, can you? All right. So that's Rosh Hashanah. So it's the time of judgment. And this is God's season of judgment and repentance. This is his time. Now, we think that, you know, sanctification is a process, and we're forgiven when God saves us. We're forgiven, right? Amen. He forgives our sins as far as the east is from the west. But do we remain sinless for the rest of our life? How many of you are perfect? Raise your hand if you've been perfect from the day you were saved. If you've been perfect ever since, you've never messed up, you've just been completely perfect, and you didn't need forgiveness. Raise your hand. I did. I've needed forgiveness every single day. I mess up every day. Amen? I need his forgiveness. And the Bible says, I thank God for, was it 1 John 1:9? It says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all. How much? All unrighteousness. Praise God. Does that mean we should go on sinning? No. Does that mean we mock God and we go on sinning like, you know, if you really know God, you're not going to want to sin. Doesn't mean you won't sin. It just means you're not gonna intentionally go out and you know, get into trouble. Amen? Right, Jamie? Amen. He's smiling at me. I don't know what he's thinking, but I know he's smiling at me.
That's what you were thinking.
I don't know. We'll talk about it later. There's all kinds of things you can do to get into trouble, isn't there? And kids too, boy. Now, not my kids, but kids in general. Not your kids, just saying kids. Kids can have a way of getting in trouble. I was a kid who got into trouble, I'll tell you that much. But I didn't know the Lord. Thank God we have a way out. Amen? Thank God we have a way out. So, that's... we blow the shofar. Now, I believe that this holiday is God's alarm clock. Wake up, people. Judgment is coming. This holiday, wake up. Judgment is coming upon the earth, upon the world. Get ready. Spiritually, prepare yourselves. Get ready for the King. The King is coming. The King is coming. He's getting ready to come back. And a lot of people teach, as I said, that the rapture is on this holiday. But do you know when the last trumpet is? It says, turn to 1 Corinthians 15. And I'm going to close it in a minute. And I just want to read one or two verses and then we'll close. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 50-51. It says, now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet, for the shofar, will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. Praise God. I'm going to stop there. So at the last trump, the last trump is at the end of, remember tonight when Don blew the trumpet and I said at the very end, I said, Tikiagadola, and she went, for a long time, you remember that one? At the very end, Tikiagadola means the great shofar, at the sounding of the great shofar. Turn to Isaiah 27. The last trumpet is on Yom Kippur. The last trumpet is on Yom Kippur. The very last blowing of the shofar at the very end of the feast, 10 days from now, at the concluding service, is when we blow the shofar. The great shofar, just once. Everybody say just once. Just once. Not 100 times. All right. So in Isaiah 27, it says in verse 13, it says in verse 12, in that day the Lord will start his threshing from the flowing stream of the Euphrates to the brook of Egypt, and you will be gathered up one by one, O sons of Israel. It will come about also in that day that a great shofar, a great trumpet, the last trumpet, will be blown, and those who were perishing in the land of Assyria and who were scattered in the land of Egypt will come and worship the Lord in the holy mountain at Jerusalem. Will come and worship the Lord. The sounding of the great shofar, or that the Tikiagadola, is the great shofar, and the great shofar is on Yom Kippur. So I'm not gonna argue about it. It's not worth arguing about for folks who believe that the rapture is on this holiday, and folks who believe I believe it's on Yom Kippur. You know what? You know, it's not worth getting an argument about. But if it's true, then it's worthy of teaching. The last trumpet is on Yom Kippur. So, with that said, I want you to just be mindful of the events that go on over these next 10 days. Think about what's going on. Pray for Israel. I want to challenge you to pray these next 10 days. Pray for the Jewish people. Pray for Israel. Pray for America. Make it 10 days if you need to get right with God yourself. This is a time to get right because it's preparation for the coming of the King. This is preparation for the coming of the King and time to get right with God, to get your house in order. Too many people die. You know, Aretha Franklin, Queen of Soul, they called her. She died and she didn't have a will. You believe that? She didn't have a will. And all these big rock stars with millions of dollars, and I remember Prince, the big rock star Prince, he didn't have a will. So they had to go to probate. They had to go to court. And then, they had to go to court and determine who gets what, and it's a big hassle. And people with all that money, they can buy hire lawyers and create trusts and tax shelters and all these things, and they don't do it. I don't understand it, why they don't do it, but, you know, they don't. A lot of them don't do it. But anyway, get your house in order. Get your spiritual house in order. If you don't know, you know, what's going to happen, we've just gone through an incredible transition in this country, politically, from Barack Obama to Donald Trump. And this country is in a, I would call it a soft civil war, where there's such hatred between two sides, and you have the people on the left getting fed a totally different meal from the media and the deep state, and you have the people on the right getting fed a different meal. Amen? Of what truth is. A different version of truth. You have the people on the right getting a version of truth, and the people on the left getting their version of what the truth is. And there can only be one right one, right? So, you know, you need to pray, because I'll tell you why. The people on one side of those two equations want to take away your Bible. One group of those people want to take away your Bible. They want to take away your right to gather. One set of those people want to take away your right to gather and talk freely. They don't want to allow people like me and others to speak, other preachers, to even speak and talk about Jesus Christ, Yeshua. Amen? And for my Jewish friends who think that they know it all and support that other side that wants to take away the Bible, they don't realize they're supporting the end of their own synagogues. That's what they're pulling for. They're so caught up in the frenzy of politics that they've forgotten that their Torah is at stake. Their Torah scroll, which they celebrate on this holiday and Simchat Torah coming up. Their Torah scroll is which is the Bible in the time of Jesus, is at stake of being outlawed. Not to mention your guns, not to mention your health care being controlled by the government, not to mention your wealth being distributed. They want to, I don't know if you have any, I don't know, you know. But you know, they wanted the distribution of wealth. I ran a business. You know, 74% of regulation, just since Trump's been president, there's been a decline in government regulation. I heard the statistic yesterday, 74% less government regulation. I ran a restaurant downtown from 2002 to 2016. And do you know, I paid this way, and I paid that way, and I paid that way, and I paid this way, and I paid coming in and going out, and I paid payroll tax and city tax and county tax, and I paid my light bill and insurance and flood insurance for a restaurant on State Street. Hello? If I had two nickels left at the end of the month, it was a miracle. You know? I mean, it was a miracle. You know, I thought I was going to make a good living, and State Street's a busy place, and we did a good business. We were in a restaurant and business for 14 years on State Street. I mean, we were the longest-running restaurant in recent history next to Shanghai and KP Duty. 14 years that we were in business, and they're still in business. But a lot of restaurants have come and gone. Amen? So you need to be ready. You need to think about, you're just a heartbeat away. You know, that guy from the FBI came down here to Walmart. Now, I don't necessarily go to Walmart and think that everybody there is a Trump supporter. Do you? I don't go to Walmart in Virginia and think that everybody's a Trump supporter. How many of you think everybody that goes at Walmart at exit 7 is a Trump supporter? I don't think like that. I think there's Trump supporters and there's not. There's Democrats and Republicans. But this guy from the FBI came down here to, I think he said it was Southwest Virginia, and went to Walmart, and he said, I could smell the stench of Trump supporters. He could smell the stench. I think what he smelled the stench of was country folk. That's what the stench he smelled was country folk with pickup trucks and blue jeans and flannel shirts, and he just wasn't used to people like us. Amen? That's what he smelled the stench of, and he didn't like it, was country folk. That's what he didn't like. He's a city guy, city slicker. And it wasn't Trump that he smelled. He didn't like working people. He didn't like country people. He didn't like mountain people. He was just judging us all. Amen. Well, thank you for coming tonight. I think I've said enough, but we're one heartbeat away from a big change in this country. We're just one president's heartbeat away from a massive change in this country. And everything that you feel safe, you feel secure, you know, with your Bibles and your guns and your God and all these things right now, you may feel at ease and not threatened like we were in the last administration. You see a conservative Supreme Court and a court that might put on a guy. There were all these people are screaming in his hearings this last week. They're all freaking out. They're going crazy. What are they so afraid of? You know what they're afraid of? That they're going to overturn Roe v. Wade. They're afraid that the Supreme Court's going to go conservative and it's going to overturn Roe v. Wade, and that they won't get it back for 30, 40 years. That the left won't get back the Supreme Court, and they are terrified. Terrified of that. But I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, in Nazi Germany, it was a minority of people that acted out violently. It was a minority of people that spoke out wildly and crazily and lied. It was a minority of fascists and a minority of communists that fought each other and that rose up, and the rest of the people just stood there and watched while Hitler came to power. And mark my words, you're going to see these different groups fight, and we're already seeing they just lit a fire in a Republican in what state was that? It was a Republican headquarters in a southern state. Anybody remember where it was? Texas? Was it Texas? Anyway, it was down south somewhere. In a Republican headquarters, they burned it down. And I've been saying, you're not just going to see these protests in the streets. You're going to start seeing bombs go off. You're going to start seeing fire bombs. You're going to start seeing attacks, buildings, just like they did back in, you know, that guy Bill Ayers and his girlfriend, the Weather Underground, where they blew up buildings and things. You're going to start seeing that kind of stuff take place, not just shootings and things. And the more victories that the president gets, if he gets his gun, the worse the violence is going to get in this country. The worse the violence. But if we stay silent, we will be without excuse. If we remain silent, just as it says in the book of Esther, you've been called for such a time as this. And if you remain silent, salvation will come for the Jews and the Christians from somewhere else. We must speak up, people. We must pray, but we must also speak up. We must vote, and we must let our voices be heard. If you have certain values that you believe in, stand up for them. Too many of us are like sheep, and we've got our heads buried in the ground. All right, please stand up. I want to bless you. Thank you for coming tonight. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechecha Adonai vayishmarech. lecha. Ya'er Adonai panav lecha b'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panav lecha. Vayasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, give you shalom. In the name of Yeshua, the Messiah and Prince of Peace. Thank you. Thank you for coming tonight. I believe there's sweets and coffee downstairs. There's books on the feasts outside if you're interested in learning more about it. There's some tape CD sets, teaching sets out there if you're interested. You can get them, and you can just put anything in the box. God bless you. Greet one another. You can. St-